It's not that what I have, I think, is so important in the fact that I'm only going to be here two services and I got to preach one out of two. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But Sister Angela touched on a very valuable message this morning. And what I've had on my heart for over a month ties right in with what? Matter of fact, she even used the scripture too. I'm probably going to use this afternoon. The song we just sang ties right in with it too. Matter of fact, uses the very part of the very thought or the very basis of what I want to preach on. Let me find a scripture here to open with. I haven't written this one down. Let me go to another book. I know it's in two different places. One place I have a hard time finding it. The other, and I know it's... All right, I want the sixth chapter of Luke. Sixth chapter of Luke, and we'll open with that. I had not been in meeting for over a month and got to go last night. Donna was able to be there, and she said, "Daddy, I want you to go to meeting tonight." Brother Marty was there. I appreciate him coming down and helping us out. And each one, the caregivers, I didn't think to mention them this morning, but some of the sisters have come in. I couldn't make it without them. They have been a great blessing. Every one of them has done an awesome job. And Rebecca and I both appreciate it. So then I wanted to come to at least one service of this meeting, hopefully. And Sister Maxine told me, she said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll come." She was planning to come last night, spend the night, and then be there today. And it worked out. She came this morning, and she said, "I'll let you go to be able to let you go to two services at least." So we desire your prayers.
Thank the Lord.
We're facing things we've never faced. Yeah. One of the hardest places I've ever been in, 29 and a half years of my marriage. But God is a great God, and He has seen us through thus far, and I expect Him to see us through the rest of the way. The sixth chapter of Luke, the 31st verse, said, "And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." Treat men the way you'd want to be treated. Treat others the way you'd want them to be treated. The Lord had given me this thought, I don't know, over a month ago, month and a half ago maybe. And then I was at a customer's house, and their baby daughter had a baby. And this little tyke is not very old. He was born in November, I guess, and this was, or maybe October. I guess he was born in October, and this was in November, I believe, when I seen him the second time. And so she come by with some of the nieces and nephews and stopped by the house where I was at there. And so I said, "Well, how's he doing?" And, oh, of course, Mom was glad to show the baby off. And so I was looking at him, and he's just a cute little doll. And I was looking at him, and the Lord gave me this message, and then He began to capitalize on that. And I thought, I've never thought of this way. And that is my thought this afternoon is gentleness. Gentleness, being gentle. Now, Lord help us all, and this is including me. I don't claim to be the most docile. I'm so hyper and emotional and everything, and I can get whatever. But the Lord's been working with me on this, and I thought, the Lord wants us to treat others just like we would want to be treated. This scripture right here is one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. We really cannot emphasize it enough. It needs to be the foundation of basically everything we do and every decision we make is to take and think, how would I want to be treated? Treat them that way. Another minister and I was working on a situation here some time back, and we were talking about how to do something. And he said, I wouldn't want them to do me that way. I said, "Well, no, I wouldn't either." He said, "So let's consider this." And we did it the way that we thought it ought to be done. And the reason is because mankind is human beings. They're eternity-bound souls. They have a life. They have a soul. They have something that you and I are going to deal with. We're going to be a blessing to them, or we could be a curse to them, so to speak. So, Lord, help us to treat man with gentleness, with real gentleness. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter here, and about the 7th verse, 2 and 7 of 1 Thessalonians. He says here that, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Your witnesses, God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now, as I looked at that little child, that baby, not a child, this is just a baby, not very old, big at all. And I looked at this little doll and watched him and so forth, didn't look at him a whole long time, but I'd seen, like I said, one other time. I looked at him. And the Lord spoke to me, I felt like, and He said, you need to treat every person just like a baby. Gentle. How do you treat a baby? You gently take care of a baby. You tenderly, you affectionately, you do everything you can do to gently take care of that child. You don't grab them up, you don't throw them around, you don't hit them over the head. You gently take care of that baby. And He said, you need to take care of every individual and treat them just like you do that baby. And that hit me. I never thought of that before. And I thought, Lord, help us. As sometimes people want to get a little, like Sister Angela, be a little judgmental and so forth. Would we want to be treated that way? Would we want to be grabbed up and shook, so to speak? Would we want to be treated as a bad person? When maybe we didn't understand, we didn't know, we didn't have the lie, we didn't have the understanding. I'm going to tell you, saints, the bottom line is, we as a body of people, and this is something that's been preached, I've taught it myself many times down through the years, when we go to Monarch or some of these meetings, and people come in, new people and so forth, some people think, well, I just got to straighten them out. They're not dressed right, they're not acting right, they're not doing this right or that right, and I've got to tell them how to do it. Lord, help us. Be gentle. Be gentle with them. The best thing to do is pray more and speak less. We've got a God in heaven. We have a Holy Ghost. We have a Jesus the righteous. And that individual, if he's not able to get the message to them, you and I may mess the thing up real good. Rebecca, one time, there was a sister. And she was doing something, and I don't remember just all about it. But she was doing something, and Rebecca's thinking, I got to go talk to her about this. And my wife is not a forward woman. She's reserved. She makes every step very cautiously, so to speak. And she was thinking about doing that. And the Lord spoke to her and said, if you do that, I'm going to have to work over that and take care of that before I never get to what she needs to deal with. So in other words, you keep your mouth shut, child. You let me deal with her and you stay out of it. I'm not saying that people, ministers and so forth, can ever say anything. But the bottom line is there are people that sometimes are very zealous, and that zealousness can get us in trouble. Judge not. Be gentle. How would you want to be treated? How would you want to be dealt with and worked with? Would you want to be dealt with gentle? Would you want to be dealt with like a baby, so to speak? People love babies. They love them. They hold them. They coo to them. They talk to them. They do all kind of things. One of the littlest one we've got in our congregation, we didn't have any for a while, and now we've got, what, 8, 7? And the littlest one of the batch, she missed a certain Sunday. And the next Sunday, when the family started showing up, you know who they wanted to say? Where's she at? Where's she at? Where's she at? Wasn't where the mama was, where the dad was. They want to know where the baby was. They love the babies. You take them dolls and you take care of them. You gently take care of them. Paul is saying here, but we were gentle among you. Can we say that today? Can we say in our dealings, brethren, sisters, that we were gentle among you? Getting quiet now, Lord help me. Could we say that? Husbands, I want to ask you. You probably heard me tell the story of a time that we were cleaning the house of a doctor. This doctor had a little wife. Wasn't very tall, but she was sweet as sugar. Dolly was her name. But her husband was a man a little bit bigger than I am, a little heavier than me maybe. And he was known as a very arrogant man. And so he come in one day and we were there cleaning and he come in, he had his green scrubs on. He was a surgeon. He was an orthopedic surgeon and he was fairly successful. They'd had 4 or 5 generations in their family that were orthopedic surgeons and so forth. But he was known even in the rich circles of being an arrogant man. He come in and I looked at him and opened my big mouth and I said, "You look like a doctor." He done just like this. He raised himself up like this. He goes, "I am a doctor." I nearly lost it right there. The other person that was helping me clean, we had to fight hard to keep from busting laughing right there. We got out of that room, into the garage, and plumb out of the house trying to hold our laughter back. I am a doctor. There's a lot of people that have "I am" attitudes. The only one that's "I am" is God in Christ. "I am that I am," he told them, Moses, to tell the people out there, "I am." He's the only one has the right, he only one has the title, but I'm going to tell you there's some people that do that, and I'm afraid sometimes that some husbands have the "I am a husband" attitude. I want to ask you husbands, if your wife was to stand up and testify for you today, could she say that you have been gentle with her? Now I'll turn it around. Wives, what about you to your husbands? Have you been gentle with your husband? Well, why? Have you been gentle with your husband? I have had over a month of living this little message right here in everything I deal with my wife. Because I rub her back. And massage her back because she's sitting so much and so forth. And sometimes she'll go, "Be gentle." And I'm not intentionally trying to be too hard. But a man is a little stronger than a woman, most generally. And I guess by my massaging and everything of her back and rubbing up and down and so forth to relieve everything. I enjoyed that in 87 when I was so bad. Brother Metzel, Doolittle, used to come over and massage my back and so forth. And I've been trying to do that with her. And the sisters have been doing things with her and so forth. And she'd go, "Be gentle." Well, brethren, how gentle are we with our wives? How gentle are we daddies with our children? Can our children say, "Oh, daddy's a gentle daddy"? Or can they say, "Well, no, he's a little bit rough"? I'm going to say probably sometimes my daughters say daddy was a little bit rough. I'm afraid they could probably say that. I don't dare be rough now because one is 6 foot and the other taller than me. I don't try to throw my weight around too much anymore, especially since they live off. But the bottom line is, could the wife, could the daughters, could the children, could the neighbors, could the family members, could they say, "This is a gentle man. This is a gentle saint. This person has done me a lot of good with his gentleness, with his working so easily and loving and kind to me has been a real draw among me, to me. But we were gentle among you." How gentle have we been in our lives? Can we take the message this morning and apply it? All right, let's go to Psalms, the 18th chapter. Psalms 18 and about 30. 18 and 30. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? and who is a rock save our God. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my hands. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holding me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Now, the writer here says that the gentleness of God hath made him great. He said, given me the shield of thy salvation. Saints, if the Lord had not given us the plan of salvation, not saved us, delivered us, give us power and so forth, if he hadn't helped hold us, if he hadn't helped strengthen us, and if he hadn't gingerly and gently led us, where would we be today? How did you want the Lord to work with you? Did you not want him to deal gently with you down through the years? Have you ever had him get a little bit rough with you, so to speak? I have. He whipped me one time from California to Oklahoma, and I didn't know if he was ever going to give up. He worked me over up one side and down the other. I'm going to tell you, for over 1,400 miles plus some, he whipped me and spanked me and chastised me till I was well chastised the time I got back to Oklahoma. He worked with me. But on the average, I could say the Lord has been gentle with me. He's dealt with me gently. He's called me gentle. He's worked with me. Listen, folks, you and I want the Lord to call us and work with us and be gentle with us. And the Lord is wanting you and I to do others the very same way. Gentle. Gentleness. He said, thy gentleness. We are what we are by the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. We are what we are by the gentleness. Lord, help us to take what he gives us and to give it out to others. Help them to see this. The world knows that God has a gentleness. They know that he is one that has love and mercy and pity and compassion. They know that. And if you and I betray anything other than that, what happens? Can cause confusion in their mind. Because they know, hey, God's a God of love. And God is a God of mercy. And this person's been a person of judgmentalness and so forth. So Lord, help us to be real gentle. Be real gentle to those. The Lord in thy gentleness hath made me great. Oh, it's his gentleness. Isaiah the 40th chapter. This is a wonderful scripture here. Isaiah 40:9. Oh, that's wonderful. 40:9. O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities, O Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand in his arms to rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And shall gently lead those that are with young. Now here we go getting back to the baby again, so to speak. The Lord himself, he says here, he said he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, the little ones. The babe, so to speak. Pick them up and carry them. I'm going to tell you, saints, if God hadn't carried me a few times down through the years, I wouldn't be here. It was his picking me up. That poem about the feet and the one set of footprints. I'm going to tell you, you look back, how many times have you seen one set of footprints? How many times have you seen the Lord pick you up and carry you? Brother Sammons himself one time in his early years, I don't know, they 2 or 3 years old, spiritually speaking. And he said he had had something that was a great disappointment to him. And he said it so stunned him and shocked him. He said he actually found himself beginning to seek in the Lord. And he was getting discouraged and so forth. And he said the Lord just literally reached out and picked him up and held him till he could get his bearings again. How many times has the Lord done that for you? Oh, he's just held you, comforted you, blessed you, and then shall gently lead those that are with young. I'm going to tell you another angle of it. If anybody needs a gentle, easy way, it is those that have got the children. Those that is carrying the heavy load. The ones that maybe got one baby and got another child a little bit older and so forth. We've got one, Sister Charity. She's got one that'll be 2, I think, about the end of February. And she's due to have another child about that time. I'm going to tell you, she is one that you want to go easy and gentle and precious with. Those are the ones that need the real help. Well, the Lord takes care of us just like that. Being so gentle, if I can get this out right. Let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22nd verse. Very familiar reading, but the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now then, said the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is a gentle Holy Spirit, and you and I claim to have that Spirit, I believe, wouldn't it, that there's going to be some gentleness come out? Amen. There's going to be some gentleness, and if we would get a little bit tight once in a while, I remember a time that somebody got offended at me for months. I didn't know what I'd done, but I knew I didn't think they were happy with Carl Schaefer. And finally it come out, they confessed it to another minister that called me on the phone and said, well, here's what the deal is. I said, I knew there was something. And what I'd done is what they got upset. They thought I spoke sharply to my wife. I personally didn't think I'd spoke sharply to my wife. But I remembered the incident and so forth, and I had spoke something and they thought I was out of order. I wasn't gentle enough, see. I wasn't loving enough. I wasn't kind enough. They thought I was out of order with it. Well, I apologized and asked forgiveness, and we got that all taken care of. And I don't remember Rebecca even thinking I was out of order. But the bottom line is, this person thought that I wasn't what I ought to be at that time. I'm not saying she just totally threw me out and didn't have no confidence in me, but she was offended at me for several months because of this. Well, the Lord wants you and I. He wants you and I to demonstrate not only love, yeah, not only joy, not only peace, yeah, not only long-suffering, not only goodness, not only faith, not only meekness and temperance, but He wants us to demonstrate gentleness too. Being gentle with people. Treat them like a baby, so to speak. And hold them, love them, cry over them, and so forth. Let them know you love them. That's the way the Lord does it. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. He has done that for you. He's done that for me. And if He hadn't have done that, like I said, we would be in trouble somewhere down the line. But the Lord has been gentle. He has worked so graciously. Oh, thou, how's that, 340, isn't it? Talks about, oh, thou gentle spirit. We were in a tent meeting one time back in 1978 down in Louisiana. Brother Sammons was there, Brother Williams and myself. And we were there, and Brother Sammons was preaching off the text of where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so he made a statement. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm just going to stop right here. And if anybody has got a good burning testimony of the Lord, said, you feel free. And one sister popped up. And this way, if I remember right, this is a song that she testified off of, oh, thou gentle spirit, and how gentle the Lord had worked with her down through the years. She had come out of some fanaticism and so forth, and she had had some real struggles and battles, and everything, trying to get balanced and everything. And the Lord had been so gentle, the Holy Spirit had worked so gentle with her, it had been such a blessing to her that she just poured it out. And Brother Sammons just stood there and we all listened to it. And then when she got through, nobody else jumped out. He fired off, took off again. Well, Lord help us to be that way. Oh, thou gentle spirit. Oh, what joyful assurance the gentle spirit brings. Oh, let us honor and reverence his name above all kings. Oh, thou gentle spirit, pure, sweet angel dove. So, if we're claiming to be sanctified this afternoon, let's not only show love to people or joy to people or peace or long-suffering, but let's show gentleness also. Let them see that this is somebody that has got the Holy Spirit. Like I say, you can't fool people. I know we're living in a pretty dark time, but one man told me one time, he said, well, he said, I can pull the wool over your eyes, Carl, but he said, I can't pull the wool over the Lord's. And there is people out there that know still what the Lord is and how he operates. 3:1 of Titus. 3:1 of Titus. Let's go to that. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, I love these scriptures right here. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us by washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now then, you tie these seven scriptures together here, and he says this is dealing with all of us. This is dealing with saints. Now, I'm going to deal with the ministers here in a little bit. Don't leave me yet. No, hang on there and pray for me. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. If a policeman ever pulled you over and you didn't feel you was guilty of something, you probably was not too happy with that individual. But it said to obey. Obey those that have the rule over you.
Yes,
and then it speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness, showing all gentleness unto all men. And then it said, for we ourselves also were sometimes. What were we? Lord help us.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, the Lord saved some people out of about as low a spot as you can get. And brought them up and put them on a king's highway and done something for them by his gentleness and his working with us. He done some great things by the love, by the power, by the gentleness. He done things that nobody else could do to that person. And he's telling us that he done that for you. Now then, you just do it right back to the other person just like that. Even though they're down there, even though they might not look good, they may not smell good. Fanny Crosby, I've been reading her book. Do you know where Fanny Crosby lived? Do you know where Fanny Crosby wanted to live?
She wanted to live in the tenement areas with the poorest people she could live with. You know why? So she could show the life of Jesus Christ through the alcoholics and the prostitutes and all that. She was living right down there working with them and helping them. She done a lot of mission work, but yet at the same time she hobnobbed with the presidents of the United States. She hopped on with the rich and the famous, the powerful. She wrote the most powerful song. She was known as the gospel poetess at that time. She was very well known all around the world, basically. And she was a very powerful woman. She was a preacher on top of that. But the bottom line was she felt she needed to get out there and be gentle and loving to those people that were down and out. That's where she lived. When she was paid for her poetry, do you know what she was paid? Take a guess how much she was paid for every song she ever wrote. $1 to $2. Now back in the 1800s, that was quite a bit of money per set. But yet the bottom line was of the how powerful that these songs were, how blessing they were. They were worth in dollars and cents, so to speak, much more than that. But the bottom line was she wasn't writing for money, she was writing for gold. And she was writing to help people out. And she got reports back that this one and that one and that one was so blessed because of this song and that song. Saved in the arms of Jesus. Blessed assured Jesus is mine. And all these different songs that Sankey and Moody and different ones had used and lifted up in the evangelistic campaign. And it had been such a blessing. But she was living down there in the tenement. And she was doing it because she wanted to help souls. With a gentleness. When she was called to speak at places, or when she had a burden to go speak, you know how many people wanted to come see her, hear her? They said they literally were wrapping around the building to get in. Hallelujah. There was a gentleness about her. She lived till she was 95 years old and was in high demand all of her life because of her gentleness. She called everybody, no matter if they, excuse my expression here, but even in the missions and so forth, the alcoholics and stuff, I guess they can be quite messy, so to speak. They can smell bad and look bad and so forth. But she called them her boys. She called them, so to speak, her children. She called the presidents and so forth. She had fond names for these people that was in the high places. She was older than most of them. The Bliss, the writer Bliss, he was killed. She was older than him. Frances Havergill, I believe it was. She was another one that she died. And of course, she outlived her too by several years. But the bottom line was she wanted to mix and mingle. She wanted to be a gentle individual with those spirits. No matter how filthy they were, no matter how bad they smelled, she still got in there and was gentle with them. And there's some people would go like that and just walk right on by. Lord, help us. Help us to be gentle. You know why she was so popular? Because she got in there and she mixed with them. She got in there and she loved them. She treated them so gentle. Gingerly, she touched them, she loved them, she worked with them. It didn't matter who they were, where they come from. They could come in reeking with alcohol and she still loved them. And she was still gentle with them. They said that there is people that listen to her songs. Rescue the Perishing. That was basically written to stir the church. But that song alone has helped a lot of people get saved. Now, I was a little surprised at that, what the book said. But that there are different angles. These songs were so powerfully used by the Holy Ghost back in that era. And still today, I still get a blessing. I love her song. And she wrote nearly 9,000 hymns in her lifetime. The bottom line was, she was so gentle with people that they flocked to her. They just resounded. Lord, help us to be. And I'm not saying we've got to live in the tenements of New York City. I'm not saying that. There was a woman
that was married to the man that established Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. They were wealthy, wealthy. And they were good friends with Franny Crosby. And this woman loved to do for the down and out. But she also, she dressed nice. She had a nice home, all of this and so forth. And they said that she would have done much, much more for Franny Crosby, but Franny would not let her do it. She wanted to be down there to show the gentleness. Listen, folks, when we was down in the gutters of sin, where did Jesus come to? He didn't walk us by. What was her famous hymn? Pass me not. Oh, Savior, pass me not. Don't pass me up, Lord, I need you. Folks, Jesus stopped and talked to us when we was in the lowest places of our experience, rolling in the gutters of sin, and Jesus come walking by and called after us. Oh, He was gentle. He was gentle. He was loving. He was kind. And He was doing that. And He said, now I want you to be gentle. I want you to show all meekness unto all men. This is the saints. This is not just the preachers here. This is not just the leaders of the congregation. This is every individual among us, is to be out there and be as gentle with people as we can be. You want to be gently, we need to treat them the same way. Remember how we want to be treated. All right, let's go to James, the third chapter. We'll be through here in a little bit. In James, the third chapter, in about the 13th verse. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy is and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom of God. Now, folks, I'm not at my age reaching out after great educations of college and stuff like that. I'm after the wisdom of God. Young people, you need this above everything else. The wisdom of God. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then what? Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Lord, help us to be some peacemakers. But it said the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, gentle.
Yes.
I was working with another minister. Older than me, and we were working on a situation. And he was so compassionate and so gentle. And we were doing well. I mean, we weren't at each other's throats or anything. We were just working and trying to come up with the most balanced everything that we could in this situation. And he was laying out all of these reasons. And I listened to him and I was so challenged by his gentleness and by his compassion. I was just awestruck. And he laid it all out there. And I was laying my side, he was laying his side. And we were working back and forth, just talking this thing out. And I'd already talked to several other ministers. I know how they felt about it. And he and I was hashing this out, so to speak. And he had a good argument. He knew this person very well that we were working with. He knew him probably better than I did in some ways, and I'd known them quite well. And the bottom line, I said, well, here is what the bottom line is right here. And I put it out on the table, and he had to back up from that point. He said, okay, I see your point, Brother Carl. But the bottom line was, if I ever have to deal with this person individually, not the minister I was talking to, but this other individual that we were dealing with, I can tell them that this minister was so gentle and so compassionate. That, folks, I went away for days. I was challenged. I'm still challenged. This has been months ago. This has been probably a year and a half ago now, almost. I was so challenged. The wisdom that he was using was from above, and it was gentle. It was peaceful. It was loving. It was kind. It was full of mercy. Lord, help us to have that kind of wisdom. That when we're dealing with souls, that they can feel the very gentleness that we have. That we want to help them. That we want to love them. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we can be too quick to cut people off. The Lord dealt long with you and I to get you where we're at. And Lord, help you and I today to deal long and be willing and to have a wisdom that pulls them, that gently pulls them and kind of holds them and loves them and helps them to see this person wants to help me. There was a minister years ago in a place that these people were doing something that this minister felt like the Bible taught against. And he wanted to talk to them about it. They were super good to him. And he wanted to talk to them. He wanted to give them the Bible, but the Lord kept telling him no. He just kept kind of holding. So he kept waiting, and he kept waiting, and he kept waiting. And he said, one morning we were sitting at breakfast, if I remember the story right. And he said we were sitting there, and there was at least three of them there, maybe four, maybe the minister and his wife, and this couple was there. I'm not positive about the minister's wife. I know him, and the other two were there. And the Lord opened this all up. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, now then is your time. Use wisdom, child. Use wisdom, use mercy, use compassion, use gentleness. And he said, brother, and he said, I put it, just got laid it out by the scripture and put it there before me. And he said, they accepted it. Sometimes, folks, people are not ready for what we think they're ready for. The Lord has got to prepare them. And then if he uses us to help them, so be it. He can do it with it by himself. He don't need us, bless your heart. But Lord, help us to use wisdom and to have a gentle wisdom and a gentle love and a gentle compassion. Oh, like I said, that brother, he's so challenged. He didn't know what he was doing. I'm going to tell you, I'm still challenged by his compassion, by his gentleness, by his wisdom that he was using in working with this case that we were working with. You know how you get that kind of wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give to all men liberally and upbraid not. Pray it down. You pray it down. And it not maybe a short prayer sometimes. You may have to travail for hours to know exactly what the Lord wants. And the Lord can give you the wisdom. He can tell you when to move and when not to move and exactly what to say and not to say. And if we will move under that kind of unction, under the unction, under the workings of the Spirit of wisdom from God, I'm going to tell you, people will be blessed. They will be blessed. Whereby, if we move under our own wisdom, we can cause strife, we can cause confusion, we can cause problems. Because we moved on our own with our own selves and not moved under the action of the Spirit. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Let's look here for just a little bit. We'll be through. Well, I got one more scripture. That this is one of the ones that Sister Angela, matter of fact, I think she quoted both these. I didn't know where she was going to go with them, but she didn't go. She left me a little room here to work with. 2 and 22 of 2 Timothy. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle.
Amen.
Unto all men.
Yes,
apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, brethren ministers, I'm not throwing my weight around today. I'm about this tall. But I want to talk to you all and to the congregation. There has been a lot of ministers, and I'm not talking about our ministers, but I'm talking about ministers in general around the world that has done a great damage to the gospel work. Great damage. Because of the way they handled things and done things, they did not deal gentle. They did not deal with a loving, kind, gentle attitude. They didn't do it that way. They dealt with them in some very harsh manners. There had been people around the saints of God that has been a little bit harsh through the years. There had been times that I have come down on things in the pulpit, and Rebecca said, "You're a little bit harsh, Carl." And there had been times I thought I was a little bit harsh. I said something to her. She said, "No, you're all right." So I didn't always know, you know. It's just how you perceive it. But Lord, help us, brethren. Now let's go to Galatians. It said, "If a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now then, he said, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." The Lord, when somebody messes up or gets into trouble or so forth, he don't send the babes to deal with them. He wants the spiritual ones. He wants those that have been around for a while. He wants those. I'm going to tell you something. Sister Angela didn't say this, but I'm going to tell you something here, that life and age mellows people. Now, I think you can attest, and I may be wrong when I say this, but I'm not the same man, per se, that you saw 40 years ago. I have mellowed. I have been through enough things in my ministry and in my life that I have mellowed greatly. And the way I look at things, the way I deal with things, the gentleness that I work with things and so forth, I used to be sometimes. I'm not that way much anymore. I am mellowed. Time and age and battles and struggles and things, if it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't even be here today. I'd have been shot while they tried to shoot me up and throw me in the trash can and everything else down through the years to get rid of me. But the Lord has kept me. It's been all Jesus. But he says there, that if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Number one, if when you and I are dealing with somebody that has been overtaken, has messed up, maybe even gone back into sin or so, however you want to say it, when you and I go to deal with them, do you need to take a ball bat in there and just beat them over the head? Why not? They know exactly what they've done. The most loving, gentle approach that you and I can have, the better. They know what they've done. You don't have to tell them twice. You messed up. They already are more than likely condemned, convicted, and touched. They're out. They know they messed up. They're in trouble. So what you and I need to do is go in there and be gentle. Go in there. The Lord gave me that scripture. I had not even thought about it in this message at first anyway. But I want to read you what it says here. I was a little bit surprised. if I can get to the right book, it'll always read right, I found. It said, brethren, if anybody is caught in the act of doing wrong, ye which are spiritual, in the spirit of gentleness, must set him right. Each of you continuing to think of yourself, for you may be tempted also. If a man should do something wrong, my brothers, on a sudden impulse, you who are endowed with the Spirit must set him right again very gently. Very gently. Look to yourself, each one of you, that you may be tempted too. When you and I are still alive and in the flesh, we're not out of the gunshot of the devil. And we may want to just really lay things down and so forth, but the bottom line is, folks, the devil can come back and work us over if we're not very careful. A minister told me of a situation of a brother that had fallen, and they had gone to deal with him, and there was another minister there, and they was really laying things down. And a minister that was telling me, they had told them, said, be gentle, be easy, let's be loving here. Amen. And boy, they was really being tight on. And so they was working with the brother and so forth. Well, within about a year of this incident happening, that other minister that was really holding it tight and not having any mercy and any compassion much, that very minister had something come on this almost identical to the other, and they like to fail themselves. Just barely kept from backsliding or going down, whatever happened. Lord, help us.
Amen.
We're human. So, brethren, help us. And I give you ministers permission here today. If you think I'm not as gentle as I ought to be, sometimes you call my hand. No, I give you permission. I give you saints permission. Hey, remember what you preached? I give you permission to challenge me on it. This is serious, saints. Treat them like those little darling babies. Hold them. I'm going to tell you, how does the song say, he's my brother, he's not too heavy. You may not have that just right, but he's my brother. This is a soul. They're going out in eternity. They may be dead by the morning, and you and I have a chance to gently help them.
Praise the Lord.
To reach out to them. To have an effect on them. Brother Sammons was in a camp meeting, South Dakota, I believe it was, or North Dakota, on an Indian reservation many years ago. 10 days, three services a day, and during that meeting, a brother come to him, or a local man come to him and said, we've got somebody that needs prayer. Okay? He said he's dying. So Brother Sammons went with them, and they sat down, and Brother Salmon sat with them there, and the man was bedfast, I guess, and he was getting close to the end, and Brother Salmon explained and worked with him. I can about imagine him knowing how close this man could be. Saints, you don't want to give the devil any room to do anything, because he will not stop if he gets a chance. And Brother Salmon's worked. I love the old general. He worked so gently in working and laying the gospel out before this man, how to find Christ, how to pray and repent and so forth. And the man began to cry out for mercy, and he begged and he pleaded. Brother Salmon's praying with him, maybe the other man, I don't know about that. But he said he prayed through. He said there was such a change come over his face and so forth. He was changed right there. And he said, saints, in less than 24 hours, he stepped out into eternity. Brother Sanders would have gone in there and done anything and be gentle and loving and
kind to me, but I missed a great opportunity. You don't know when somebody's going to die and go out into eternity. They can be killed. They can have a heart attack. And all kinds of things can happen. Do we need to be gentle? We need to reach out in love like Fanny Crosby. We need to do everything we can do to help souls, yes. Be less judgmental. Oh, Sister Anne's message was good. It was wonderful. It was challenging. But Lord, help us to be gentle. To be gentle and treat them gentle. Like a baby, so to speak. Hold them. Cry with them. Whatever they need, get out there and weep with them. Doesn't matter. They're a soul and they're going out. They're going towards eternity and we don't know when they'll get there. Be thou gentle. Pray for me.